It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas. It's gone. It's been his night.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Good afternoon, Celtics fans. Welcome to the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics. Today, we got treated the blowout-averse. Boston Celtics were finally able to convert a blowout, and all it took was a Sunday afternoon game. The Celtics beating the New York Knicks 110-94. Finally got their starters a little bit of rest. Finally saw the Celtics sort of handle business on the road against an inferior team and, you know, get some of their starters a little bit of rest. We got to see Gerald Green, Terry Rozier, even Tyler Zeller a little bit late in this one. As again, the Celtics able to secure the blowout win over the Knicks 110-94. Welcome to the Celtics postgame show. And our opening segment is going to be powered by the SeatGeek ticketing app, the smartest and easiest way to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. Get a $20 rebate on your first purchase by downloading the free SeatGeek app on your phone. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code and enter CLNS. That's CLNS, all one word, for a $20 rebate so SeatGeek knows who sent you. Get your $20 rebate on tickets. You download the SeatGeek app. You go to the settings tab and you click add a promo code. Again, you're going to enter promo code CLNS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after off your first ticket purchase. So you can download the SeatGeek app today and enter the promo code CLNS. Again, you're with the Celtics postgame show. I'm your host, Sam Sheehan. With me is Nick Sesento. Nick, what did you think of that game today? Good to see Terry Rozier kind of get some play.
Absolutely. Nothing beats watching the Celtics beat the Orlando Magic by 1 point. I mean, that's always, you know, riveting television. But, you know, when you get to watch a blowout of a Carmelo Anthony and Derrick Rose, who, by the way, has a torn meniscus and is out for the duration of the season, incredible loss for the New York Knicks. It'll have, I'm sure, direct impact on the playoff hunt for all teams in the East who can now breathe easy that the New York Knicks are no longer in contention now that they're one of their primary stars, Derrick Rose, has once again messed up his knee. But the game, it's nice to see some of the younger players on this Boston Celtics team get some run. Nice to see Terry Rozier, as you mentioned. I think we spoke about that before the show started. Watch Terry Rozier, like, really take over some of the ball handling and playmaking responsibilities, clearly with no pressure of the game on the line. The game was well in hand pretty much from, you know, opening whistle to you know, the closing buzzer. I like seeing Terry Rozier. He's a full speed kind of guy. He really plays really fast, even faster, I think, than Isaiah Thomas in, you know, getting a rebound. And I think that's one of the big differences when he's in the game as opposed to Isaiah Thomas, is that Terry Rozier is a very good rebounder for a small guard. And getting those rebounds, he initiates the offense right away, and he's up the court in no time flat. He's a speed demon. He's turbocharged, completely fast, and he makes something happen, whether it's passing the ball or sometimes taking a shot, if not an ill-advised shot, because he's still a young player. But it's nice to see him get some play. Kelly Olynyk got some nice minutes. Tyler Zeller even got into the game for 9 minutes. And Marcus Smart got, you know, some of his game time, actually shot fairly well from the field, not from three, but shot fairly well from the field. So nice getting, you know, minutes out of all of them. Jaylen Brown, 16 points now that I'm looking at the box score. 16 points for Jaylen Brown. Like to see the rookie get some minutes. And Al Horford, even in limited minutes, got his, I think, season average at 14 points and was really taking. If only he could play that Hernan Gomez kid every game, Al Horford would look like a savage, a beast in the paint. But, yeah, good warm-up. Nice to get some rest for the starters. It was a nice game overall.
I was going to say, so you're saying you don't think the Marshall Plumlee Kuzminskis tandem is necessarily the best indicator of the level of competition the Celtics will be seeing in the playoffs?
Yes, if the Celtics could play this this front court, these big men for every game, not just the first round, but the second round and third round, it would be fantastic for the Celtics front court rotation and for their statistical output. I mean, you'd see Al Horford go from, what is it, I think 6 rebounds a game that he's averaging this year to 10, maybe 11 or 12. He would just go insane. Even though I don't think he got that many rebounds today anyway, but with only 26 minutes, you're not going to get all that much, from him. And he gave you what he needed to give you in those 26 minutes. A very efficient 26 minutes for Al Horford.
Right. Yeah, and I like that you brought up Marcus Smart, because I think this was kind of a game I think Marcus Smart needed. I think he needed a game where, he could play a little bit more loose. Marcus has just had a brutal, brutal, brutal March, particularly shooting the ball. I think Smart is definitely still impacting winning. And clearly Stevens also thinks that, because we always see Marcus out there in crunch time. And, it's likely we're going to continue to see Marcus out there in crunch time, especially when those big moments come in the playoffs. We have been seeing that IT and D lineup of, Thomas flanked by Smart and Bradley with Crowder and Horford, and sort of Smart playing that utility, sometimes, guarding the power forwards. But I agree, Nick. I think Smart, 6 for 11, for most, that's, just an okay shooting night. But that's Marcus Smart needed to have sort of an offensive night like this. Led the team in plus minus at plus 23, getting 14 points. I think he needed to see the ball go in the hole and just have things come to him a little bit more easy than it has been. I mean, he's had some rough calls. I mean, the refs have really been on top of Smart the last few games. We saw him pick up a technical again. We also saw Isaiah Thomas pick up his 14th technical of the year. So we're kind of getting to the point where if Thomas picks up another 2, he will be suspended for a game, which, with the Celtics coming right down to it for number one in the East against the Cavs, I mean, you never know. Something like that might matter. And because we've seen, the Celtics sort of shrivel up further away when Isaiah Thomas isn't on the floor.
It requires a full-time, complete effort, maximum output from every other player on the roster when Isaiah Thomas is not there, and you don't always get that with this Boston Celtics team. If you get that full max output from all the players while Isaiah Thomas is playing, that's when you have the flashes that we've seen of kind of like a juggernaut Celtics team, even though they haven't necessarily blown out that many, as you mentioned earlier in the opening of the show, haven't blown out that many opponents. They find ways to, let leads go and let games get a little bit closer than, in the final score than they really looked as they were being played. But there are times when, and the statistics back it up, where the Boston Celtics look like this an incredibly efficient offensive team with, probably some of the toughest nosed defense in the league. But you need, all of the players, you need all those guys. I like the IT and D nickname for the lineup with Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, Jay Crowder, and Al Horford. There's definitely the IT and D, because IT is, as with any of the rotations, he's going to carry the offense. Although without Avery Bradley, I think he's clearly the Boston Celtics' second best offensive player, in addition to being, such an awesome, defensive force, or a man-on-man defensive force, that, if there's any injuries or lingering situations with any of these players, and IT happens to get one of those technical fouls, no bueno. You gotta have him, especially in the playoffs. I don't think there's going to be any easy cakewalks for this Boston Celtics team in any of the rounds. This team hasn't won a first-round series yet. If they happen to draw a team like Milwaukee, and I think Milwaukee is climbing up the ranks as we get closer to the end of the season, so hopefully the Boston Celtics don't have to play a team like Milwaukee that has those size advantages and athleticism advantages as Giannis Antetokounmpo has over most players in the NBA. There's going to be no cakewalks for this Boston Celtics team, and Isaiah Thomas needs to be on the court for all those games. So the technical situation, if he's down to two more, I know he's got that little man thing going on where he's kind of fiery and feisty. He needs that for a guy his size, but got to keep it, you know, got to keep it under control because there's a bigger thing going on. for this Boston Celtics team, I think, you know, there's bigger goals for this team. I think they can see the goal in front of them. They can possibly do something big this year, more than just winning a playoff season and a playoff series, and just going home and saying, "Well, we did better than last year." There's something bigger that the Celtics can do here this year. I think
they could have a very big year this year.
Yes, and there we have it. Sounds like Patrick Gilroy, the consummate professional, just barging right in, jumping into the conversation after having some small, minor technical difficulties to start out the show. With that, I'll fade back, Nick Sesento, back to the behind the glass, and welcome Patrick Gilroy to the show. Patrick.
Listen, guys, I really appreciate you starting the show without me. I don't know what went wrong. I will share a quick story. My radio studio is above my detached two-car garage. It gets cold up here in the winter. There's nothing you can do about it, short of installing, you know, spending tens of thousands of dollars on the same type of heat that I've got in my house. I'm not doing that here. This is a place where I go to escape my wife and kids. And if I start spending money that normally would go to them on me, then they're just going to make my life worse. So I've got two space heaters, and they've been fine. And I turned them on. I came up here about an hour before the show. I turned them on. Something happened with one of them. I heard a pop, and I had a small fire. I can actually tweet out a picture of my burned floor. And I'm wondering if my technical difficulties didn't have something to do with the near disaster that I had at my house about an hour ago here. So I really do appreciate you guys hopping on and starting the broadcast without me. After what, you know, I heard you guys for a little while. It's the Celtics and the Knicks. We could certainly spend the next 90 minutes, 60 minutes, whatever, maybe breaking down the Knicks and how laughable they are. I think the best part about the game today was the fact that Allen Houston, Charlie Ward, and Latrell Sprewell were all in the building. They were the most ones that were, you know, New York Knicks related, I think, that were in New York today.
Yeah, I know. And good to see. I mean, that was probably, like you said, one of the most interesting things about the game was just hearing them and Van Gundy kind of go back about, you know, those times when the Knicks were actually good. I mean, the Knicks have been relevant exactly once in the past 20 years. And, you know, you got to go back to the 90s, the last time that they were good. So, and yet, you know, they get all these national TV games because of, you know, MSG in the afternoon schedule, 1 o'clock, all those sorts of things. So, you know, that was nice to sort of see, you know, some of those, something interesting about the Knicks as we're watching, you know, Kuzminskis, Ron Baker, and Marshall Plumlee get extended run for a Knicks team that's, you know, kind of realized where they are and is mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. But, you know, sort of with the East picture coming a little bit more into focus, Patrick, you know, right now, if the season were to end today, the Celtics, with the number one seed, would be lined up against the Miami Heat, who are currently technically in a three-way tie with the Bulls and Pacers. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts, or, you know, maybe it's a little early with 5-6 games left to start thinking about who the Celtics should want to play. But after seeing them, you know, lose to the Bucks at home a couple of nights ago, do you have like a preferred round one opponent, or do you think that there's someone the Celtics should be looking to catch in their first round to sort of make that first playoff series victory that has been eluding Brad Stevens these past couple of years sort of come to fruition?
Yeah, so, I mean, if I were a betting man and I could sort of pick one of these opponents, I certainly would put all my chips on the Celtics if they got lucky and faced off against the Bulls. And I know there's a chance now that Dwayne Wade may be back for the playoffs, but they don't scare me at all. They're a team that's been a mess for the majority of the season, Sam. And, yeah, they've got hot the last year, won three games. But they're a mess. They're both physically, mentally. I think that their biggest weakness is their coach in the playoffs. As the Celtics learned last year, as Mike Boos, really, Coach Stevens, the importance of having a great coach is certainly amplified on the playoff. And they've been one of the hottest teams in the last 2.5 months. And look, Atlanta, we know there's too much pedigree there with the Atlanta Hawks and the in the playoffs. And they're going to come into Boston, and their young players will come into Boston. A guy like, I think of a guy like Dennis Schroeder come into Boston, or Kent Bazemore, where they've had a lot of success. That doesn't make me feel very good as a Celtics fan.
Right. No, I think that we're going to see, I mean, we've also seen, I mean, there's something to be said for having the best player in the series. And, you know, the Celtics with Isaiah Thomas having the sort of MVP caliber year that he's having, the Celtics will probably have the best player in the series against any team in the East besides maybe the Cleveland Cavaliers. But that said, you've got to be wary of I am a little bit wary of, sort of teams like the Bulls and the Pacers and the Bucks, by extension, that do have that one very strong wing player. We've seen those guys who are like really elite wing talents, like your Paul Georges, like your Jimmy Butlers, like your Giannis Antetokounmpos. Like, we've seen those guys sort of swing series. And while, the Celtics do have, an answer for that, or at least more than most teams do in, Jay Crowder, there to sort of shut them down. I can't help but wonder, I mean, everyone has been very terrified of, this Miami Heat squad. And I think anyone would have been ecstatic, as far as Celtics fans, to see the Hornets or the Pistons sort of jump up into that eighth spot. It's, looking less and less likely that will happen, as those guys have sort of drifted, a couple of games behind, the likes of the Pacers, Heat, and Bulls. But I think that, even though the Heat, we've sort of seen a resurgence in their second half of the year. We've seen Waiters Island sort of, come back in. I still am not sure that the Heat wouldn't be the best opponent, just because they don't have that A1 sort of answer. Like, when Isaiah Thomas goes on his fourth quarter runs, I don't see anyone on the Heat. Oh, all due respect to Dion Waiters and, Hassan Whiteside, and Goran Dragic for that matter. But those guys are not having seasons of the caliber that Isaiah Thomas has had versus, Paul George, who has gotten it done in the playoffs before, versus, Jimmy Butler, who, in his own way, we've seen just sort of drag a very uninspiring and, quite frankly, pretty gross for a lot of the year Bulls team to just win after win. I think, if I were the Celtics, I would feel a lot more comfortable with, a Heat team where I can sort of just let Isaiah Thomas become the king in the fourth that we've always known him to be, and just not really have that answer, that scoring answer, or someone who they can throw the ball to sort of duel with Isaiah Thomas down the stretch.
Well, I mean, I think you're right when you talk about the Miami Heat. The issue that comes up with Miami, and I think it's the most obvious issue, is Hassan Whiteside. The Celtics have had no answer for teams with dominant front court players all season long. They've made average front court players look like all-stars this season. So when you've got a guy like Whiteside who truly can dominate the paint, that sort of scares the living daylight out of me as a Celtics fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can definitely see that. I think we've seen, I think everyone can kind of get on the same page about the Bucks not being the ones you want to see in the playoffs. Luckily, it's looking like the Celtics, things would have to go very wrong for them to end up against the Bucks. But, and the Celtics will see them again before the end of the year. But it's also, I'm interested to hear what you think, Patrick, about maybe even if we were to get even a little bit more ahead of ourselves, what you would think about a second round matchup.
if we went there. You can't go there, Sam, can you? Are you that confident in that this team is going to finally sort of shake off what's ailed them the last couple of years? And is it safe to start talking about second round opponents? And real quick, I know that Nick had a thought about the Heat too. So before we exit the first round and move on to round two, I want to get Nick's closing thought on the Miami Heat and the potential matchup with the Heat for the Celtics.
I agree pretty much, and I've said it on the show, with what Sam has just said. Yes, we know that Hassan Whiteside is, a force underneath the boards, but the Celtics just have so many, and on defense, the Celtics just have so many players between Al Horford, between Kelly Olynyk, between a guy like Amir Johnson who can, you know, even hit some outside shots to pull Hassan Whiteside out of the paint. And like Sam just mentioned, you know, Dion Waiters, respectable player, you know, no disrespect to Dion Waiters, but the Miami Heat don't have a player the way the Boston Celtics have a player in Isaiah Thomas. They can put the team on their shoulders night in and night out when the pressure is on. I think the Miami Heat have had a nice, you know, cute little run, you know, since the All-Star break or whatever. I think, you know, they have some nice matchups. But Hassan Whiteside is really the only player on that roster that I think dominates. It's a clear advantage over the Boston Celtics in terms of matchup advantage that makes, you know, that would make the team nervous. Then you go down the list, the Pacers. I mean, I'd much rather play them because they're not playing for anything right now. That team, I think, is deflated and demoralized. They know, you know, as well as anything, they're not going anywhere this year. And Paul George is probably out the door, you know, the next possible opportunity. I really would not want to see the Boston Celtics play the Milwaukee Bucks because I think they see themselves as a team on the way up. They have one of the best young players, young, talented players in the league who hasn't even begun, as good as he is, who hasn't even begun to, you know, really put all the, you know, the basketball pieces together and is really still just playing on athleticism in Giannis Antetokounmpo. That, you know, that's the team. They have the youth, they have the speed, and they also have size and athleticism to give the Boston Celtics problems in the first round. I don't think that's going to happen. But any of those other teams, I give them just as the Boston Celtics just as much chance to beat the Pacers, the Heat. You know, they're all the Pistons or any. They're all similar. I maybe wouldn't like the Pistons because of Andre Drummond, but you know, I wouldn't mind a second round discussion if the teams we have to talk about in the first round are you know, the Pacers, the Heat, and you know, the Detroit Pistons. You know what I mean? Or the Bulls? How lucky could that be? You know.
Right. No, I get it, and we'll get into all of that as the program rolls along. It is the Celtics postgame show right here, CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. The final score from the Madison Square Garden this afternoon, the Boston Celtics 110, the New York Knickerbockers 94. The number to join us here on our Movement Watches, toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. It is the Celtics postgame show, and as always, our opening segment is powered by our friends at SeatGeek. As the Celtics playoff push heats up, SeatGeek is the smartest and the easiest way to get tickets to every single game. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps of your phone or mobile device. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, and the best part, it's fully guaranteed. There's nothing like being in the arena for the biggest plays of the year, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for an incredible value. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone, and by far, it's the easiest way that I've found to shop for tickets. Look, everybody knows that listens to this show that I travel for a living. I'm on a plane at least once a week. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just used SeatGeek about a month back. I bought Billy Joel tickets for his concert at Fenway this summer. I've been nervous to do this. I could never get the tickets at regular price, at face value, and I needed to find a partner here where I knew that my money was being sort of put in the right place. You hear all these horror stories about counterfeit tickets and people getting scammed. To spend the kind of money that I spent on these tickets, you can't afford to get scammed. The best part about this whole thing, though, SeatGeek not only gives me the fully guaranteed tickets, I know that I'm getting $20 back from SeatGeek just for using the app. So all you need to do is download the SeatGeek app, head on over to the settings tab, and hit add a promo code. Enter promo code CLNS. Again, it is CLNS, and SeatGeek is going to send me and you and anybody that takes advantage of this $20 after you've made that first purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code CLNS today. It's Patrick Gilroy, it's Sam Sheehan, it's of course Nick Cecento behind the glass. Once again, your final score from MSG this afternoon: Celtics win their 50th win of the season with five games remaining. Your final score, 110, the Knicks 94. It's the Celtics postgame show, and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Ty Ray from Beats and Eats Podcast, and today's Celtics postgame show is being brought to you by the SeatGeek ticketing app. As the Celtics playoff push heats up, SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to get tickets to every game. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. And it doesn't end with the Celtics or any other NBA game. SeatGeek also has plenty of concert, comedy, and theater tickets available too, and it's fully guaranteed. Listeners to CLNS Radio can support this production and get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's how. Download the free SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab and click Add a Promo Code, and enter promo code CLNS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code CLNS. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just two taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just use SeatGeek to buy Portland Trailblazers tickets, and I found the app a breeze to use. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click on Add a Promo Code. Enter promo code CLNS. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code CLNS today.
I joined Get in Shape for Women because my health demanded a lifestyle change. My blood pressure was high, my cholesterol was high, and my weight was high. I love the trainers. They make it fun. They make it accountable. I'm getting lots of compliments, feeling confident, feeling fabulous. My name is Michelle Burns. I'm 46 years old. I'm down 25 pounds in 3 dress sizes.
Sign up for your free week trial today. Visit GetInShapeForWomen.com. That's GetInShapeForWomen.com.
This is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
CLNS Radio. CLNSRadio.com. It is the Celtics postgame radio program. Patrick Gilroy alongside Sam Sheehan. We've got Nick Sesento behind the glass taking your phone calls at our Movement Watches toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. An impressive victory for the Celtics over the Knicks, an early matinee game at MSG. Your final score, Celtics 110, New York 94. New York gets a second piece of bad news today, confirming that Derrick Rose is not only out for the remainder of the season, he's out for the remainder of the season with a torn meniscus in that knee. And look, I know Derrick's heading into free agency, and he sort of proved himself to be somewhat durable this season and still an effective player. But the questions are once again going to pop up. Even though this is considered relatively minor, the fact that he's down once again with a knee injury does not bode well for his ability to go out there and get the sort of money that he is looking for in free agency. Good news for the Celtics. They pick up a half a game on Cleveland. Cleveland is playing in just about an hour and a half. But as of right now, the Celtics have a full one-game lead over the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavaliers at home tonight facing off against the Indiana Pacers. And you know the Pacers are going to play hard. They are fighting for their playoff lives. Let's face facts here. Cleveland has not been a very good team for the last 30 days or so. I am of the mind that I think Cleveland does have the ability to flip the switch. I think Celtics fans have got a very, very short memory. It was the 2010 Celtics that should have won the NBA championship, but of course went down in disappointing fashion in Game 7 against the Lakers, and we can blame it on the Perk injury, but that team was a 500 team for the majority of the second half of that season. They were a bad basketball team and lost to bad basketball teams. We've seen teams right here in our own backyard with championship pedigree flip the switch in the playoffs. I still fully expect the Cleveland Cavaliers to flip that switch come playoff time. I bring up the Cleveland Cavaliers, Sam, because the Celtics have just a huge game at home this Wednesday. Let's assume Cleveland finds a way to win their game tonight. They will come into Boston a half a game behind the Celtics for the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. And while that number one seed may not mean a lot to Cleveland, I've got to believe it means a lot to the Celtics. The possibility of finishing the season and going into the playoffs, looking down at the standings before game one of the playoffs, and knowing that you are the number one seed and seeing Cleveland as the number two, I think that means something to Brad Stevens. I think it means something to Danny Ainge, and I know it means something to Isaiah Thomas. I think we'll know a lot more about what it means to Cleveland dependent upon the players that they dress when they come into Boston on Wednesday.
Right. And I think that we've seen, the quotes from Ty Lue about that he has like a secret weapon. And as easy as it is to make fun of that, and believe me, it's very easy to make fun of that. Like you were saying, Patrick, it's a very, you know, we've seen this as Celtics fans. We know switch flipping is real. I mean, even in the case of LeBron James, I mean, we've seen, I don't think there's ever been a player in my given, you know, kind of my short NBA basketball life that I can remember who has an ability to, you know, do this quote unquote switch flipping like LeBron James. We'll see him sort of bizarrely check out for stretches. Like we saw him do that in that same 2010 season in the when they played the Celtics. But we've also seen him sort of when he's locked in and engaged. The Cavaliers are still probably going to end up being, you know, the best team in the Eastern Conference, regardless of where their seed falls. And we've seen LeBron James make, you know, championship runs out of that number two seed. You know, it really doesn't matter that much. I would say if I were the Cavaliers, it wouldn't matter that much to me where they ended up. Now, that said, I think it does mean quite a bit to the Boston Celtics. I think getting home court advantage would be, you know, really big for the Celtics and would give them, you know, I'm not going to say that they should be the favorites against Cleveland or anything like that, but should the Celtics get to some sort of Eastern Conference finals or, you know, in sort of an unlucky situation, an Eastern Conference second round against the Cavaliers, it would give them a puncher's chance. And I think it would definitely help them more than it would, more than the home court would help Cleveland, if that makes sense.
No, it makes total sense. I mean, Cleveland is a veteran-laden team that's been there before, and they've got championship pedigree. A team like that, much like I compare them to the 2010 Celtics, much like those Celtics teams, it didn't really make a difference if they were at home or on the road, Sam, because of their pedigree, because they knew what to expect going into a visitor's arena, you know, for a playoff game, for a championship game, whether it be Eastern Conference, Western Conference, NBA championship, NBA finals. It didn't matter to them because they had been there before. And when you've got a LeBron James-led team, that's what I expect. Now, you laugh when you talk about the secret weapon. I believe the secret weapon that they're talking about is Larry Sanders, who's having a good little run in the D-League right now. They're trying to get him back into shape to see if he can come back and contribute and help for this Cleveland Cavaliers team. He certainly would provide them with some shot-blocking defensive presence in the front court that they are lacking right now.
Yeah, I mean, and boy, if that's the secret weapon, they better count on it, because this is, that would be the thing that I would point to if we're looking for, you know, differences between historical teams that did flip the switch and teams that did not. That 2010 Celtics team was still a very good defensive team with, you know, Rasheed Wallace and some of these other guys that they had on that squad. You know, it still had Kevin Garnett in his prime. You still had Rajon Rondo. This Cleveland team doesn't really have another, like, good defender besides LeBron James, besides maybe Tristan Thompson. I mean, they've added guys who, you know, like vets who help, like, you know, Kyle Korver, like Deron Williams, those sorts of guys, but they haven't, you know, those guys don't defend well. You know, the great offensive players that will definitely, you know, sort of help the Cavs sort of be able to, you know, score, but the game slows down in the playoffs. And, you know, we've seen defense be a much more important part. So, you know, while I'm not going to make any bold predictions and say that, like, the Cavaliers are, you know, gonna lose beforehand or that they still shouldn't be the favorites, but I would say that that is a key difference, is that, you know, where Cleveland is struggling is defensively. And if you can't defend in the playoffs, boy, you better have a great offense. And, you know, sort of the fact that they might be pinning their hopes and dreams on a healthy Larry Sanders, that kind of says a lot right there.
It does, but I will say this, you know, comparing them to the Celtics once again, let's go back to the 2008 championship Celtics. We know that team picked up P.J. Brown very late in the season after the All-Star break. And we also, if you remember correctly, Doc Rivers used him very sparingly in the regular season, tried to get him just enough run to sort of get him in shape just in case they were going to need him. And we know that P.J. Brown was single-handedly responsible for winning. I'm going to give him 1.5 playoff games, and one of those games was in the finals. So we've seen it here before where there's a veteran guy that hasn't played much at all, essentially out of the league. P.J. Brown was out of the league. Larry Sanders out of the league. The Celtics were able to, you know, piggyback some of that veteran leadership and his ability to do something on the floor and contribute offensively. And P.J. Brown came up with some pretty big moments here for the Celtics. And generally for an NBA champion, you've got to get some sort of a surprise type performance from somebody that you weren't expecting, whether it be the Celtics going back to a guy like a Sam Cassell or an Eddie House. You know, Sam Cassell struggled mightily for the Celtics during stretches of that season. But then as the games got bigger, the shots got bigger, Sam Cassell stepped up. And you going into the playoffs, I didn't expect Sam Cassell to have moments like he did in 1996 when he won a championship with the Houston Rockets. But that's exactly what Sam Cassell did. He hit big shots in big moments. And I fully expect Cleveland, because they're so veteran-laden, to come out and eventually be victorious. It's not going to be an easy road for them through the Eastern Conference playoffs. And there are teams like the Celtics, like the Wizards, like the Raptors. These teams genuinely believe in their hearts. Not only can they beat Cleveland, they believe that they should be favored over Cleveland. They think that they are better basketball teams than the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. And that's why I think winning the East means so much to this Celtics team. And you take a longer-term view, Sam. Let's say the Celtics are able to win round one and lose in seven to Toronto in round two. And you fast forward to June, July, and Danny Ainge is out making his sales pitch to Gordon Hayward. He's out making a sales pitch to Blake Griffin and whoever else is out there for a potential max contract. Well, now you're the best team in the Eastern Conference throughout the regular season. Now you truly can say that you are one player away. And I think it's so important for this Celtics team that has had this progression, this trend, 25 wins, 40 wins, 48 wins. This season they're up to 50 with five games remaining. The next step for that team is to start winning some rounds in the NBA playoffs. And I think it's much easier for Danny Ainge to sell the concept of the Celtics continuing to be this up-and-coming team that's got a shot to win a championship if they're able to go out there, win round one at a minimum, compete hard in round two at a minimum. Look, if they were to make the Eastern Conference Finals and face the Cavaliers, that's a dream come true. I don't think, as a Celtics fan, though, I don't think that should be the expectation as we make our way home here into the NBA playoffs.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, it's, I mean, we saw it last year, you know, it always, the playoffs comes down to matchups. You know, the Celtics caught a really, I'm of the mind that the Celtics probably were one of the four best teams in the Eastern Conference last year, but sort of caught a bad matchup in an Atlanta Hawks team that, you know, the Atlanta Hawks last year that the Celtics played had a better point differential than the Celtics as a one seed do now. Like, that was a really good Hawks team that was sort of underappreciated. And that's something that's sort of overlooked when we're talking about, you know, the Celtics improvement, which is maybe why I'm sort of looking past, maybe incorrectly, the Celtics, you know, getting that first round victory, because I think that the Celtics team is better than last year's. And I think that last year's team probably would have won a first round series matchup with a little bit more of a kinder matchup.
But, or with, you know, Avery Bradley, correct? I mean, let's say facts here. Avery Bradley is the Celtics last year anyways. He was their second most important player, especially on the offensive end. I think we take for granted what he gives this team defensively, but how many times in last year's series against the Hawks did the Celtics desperately need somebody not named Isaiah Thomas to step up offensively? And when you don't have AB on the floor, that's critical. It's a critical loss for the Celtics.
Well, and how about a healthy Jay Crowder, too? I mean, he's, you know, the Celtics leader in plus minus, and he was, you know, sort of hobbled. And, you know, the Celtics, particularly even more so last year without Jaylen Brown, just didn't have anyone on the wing they could plug in. They just sort of had to put Marcus Smart out there and see what he could do as a, you know, as a small forward, because, you know, sort of Evan Turner was handling more point guard responsibilities. But I think, you know, this – the Celtics team, the one that I have my eye on is this Toronto Raptors team. And I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, that's the one that could give the Celtics some real issues. They, I believe, do have the best point differential in the Eastern Conference.
They do.
They do have, you know, and they did make, you know, they made some moves at the deadline. They got PJ Tucker and Serge Ibaka and have been playing, you know, a lot better. They were without Kyle Lowry for a long time too. I mean, you know, this is a team that I think is definitely better than their record. A team that probably, you know, if we played this season a bunch of times, might end up with the one or the two seed a lot of times. And I think that if, you know, that was sort of what I was getting at earlier in the show, is that maybe the Celtics Eastern Conference Finals dreams and seeing the Cavaliers might depend a little bit on getting lucky as far as not seeing the Raptors in the second round, because as we've seen throughout the season, the Raptors have just sort of had the Celtics number whenever they've played them this year. And it is, you know, it does sort of get back to that, those matchup issues, particularly an improved Raptors squad that we've seen since the trade deadline.
No, you're absolutely right. So I worry as a, if I put the radio guy aside, as a Celtics fan, I think it's a self-defense mechanism where I go into the playoffs thinking to myself, okay, you know, there's a chance the Bulls could beat them. There's a chance that any team in the Eastern Conference could beat them. That way, if it does happen, I'm not so heartbroken. I've got to get up the next morning, take care of my kids, go to work. I can't let it affect me the way that it did. You know, I'm telling you, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, Celtics losing in the playoffs was it truly affected me for multiple days after that elimination game. I can't afford for that to happen anymore. My mortgage company, unfortunately, is not going to say, you know, mortgage guy, the Celtics lost, so I'm not performing on the job right now. Could you give me a 30-day hiatus? They're not going to do that.
I might try it anyway.
it certainly is worth a try. So, you know, throw it out there. You let me know how it goes.
Right.
It is okay. The Celtics post-game show. It is Patrick Gilroy. It is Sam Sheehan. It is my good friend Nick Cicento behind the glass. Your final score from MSG today, the Celtics 110, the New York Knickerbockers 94. The number to join us here on our Movement Watches toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771. Of course, those phone lines are brought to you guys by our good friends at Movement Watches. We all know department store watches cost $400, $500, $600, but our good friends over at Movement Watches have done the smart thing. They've taken the middleman right out, and they're passing that savings directly on to you. Movement Watches are slick, they are fashionable, and most importantly, they are affordable. They start at just $95. Even Nick Cicento can afford that without going to the thrift store. So head on over to movementwatches.com. It's MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Gets you 15% off that first order with free shipping. Nick, I brought you into that for a reason. Throughout the season, I'm going to say October through January, you were sort of my hero on Facebook, on Twitter, because you were posting up all these thrift store finds. And I'm talking about like Jordans and jerseys and things that, you know, you go spend $2 on, you can flip them on eBay for $60. There were a lot of thrift store finds, but in the last, let's say your hiatus on thrift store finds has matched the Cleveland Cavaliers sort of last 30 to 45 days. It hasn't been very impressive. So what's going on, man? You just don't have enough time to head on over to the thrift store, or the goods aren't there the way they used to be?
Nah, they're always there. I'm saving up for something else. I'm trying to hook up my Chevy Astro van. I have a 2000 Chevy Astro van. I want to put some speakers in it because it has that.
No, you don't. No. Slow down. No, you don't. Is that what you drive every day?
Yes, you drive this
every day.
Every single day is the candy van, bro. I drive it every single day, but see, I'm trying to turn it from the candy van to the A-team, like more of an A-team kind of, you know, B.A. Baracus type thing, you know, where I can, you know, maybe fit some speakers in the back. I have a brush guard in the front, so like anyone trying to ram me, they got to get out the way because the brush guard is all, you know, steel. I want to get a lift kit so I can drive over the curb. I really want, you know, some Mad Max, you know, Fury Road type, you know, van, but right now it's fairly stocked, just the brush guard, and I'm trying to put some speakers in it. Music is the most important thing, number one. So I took out the third row of seats, no soccer mom van, and I have a whole back space to fit, 12s and 15s and 18s, you know what I'm saying, in the back to make that thing woof. Because I do live down in Florida now. I got to get some of the bass music, the Uncle Luke and Two Live Crew coming out the back of the Astro van, you know, keep it old school. Freak Nick.
I love it, Nick. I mean, I shouldn't laugh. I drive a Honda Odyssey, but I've got two kids and a wife that doesn't quit. So it's a different story. I will say this, though. Back in, I don't know, 1997, I'm 17 years old. My first car was an 87 Ford Thunderbird. I took it down to Mako because that's all I could afford. I told them to paint it Celtic green, so they painted it Kelly green. And at the time, I was in high school, and I was interning with the Celtics, essentially handing out flyers and Celtics Tonights at the door. And it got me into the games for free. But it also I made friends. So the Celtics at the time were driving these hideous white vans around the city with their logos sort of all over them. And that the logos were these giant sort of like fathead vinyl stickers. And the Celtics gave me one. So I put it – I had it professionally put on the hood of my already Celtic green, you know, Ford Thunderbird of all cars. And I lived in a small town. Let me tell you something. A, I got pulled over nearly every day. B, to this day, everybody remembers that flipping car, okay? So here's the deal. The car eventually died, and, you know, it was too old to fix. But there was this junkyard in this town that I lived in, and you could see the tops of the cars on the pile from the highway as you passed. And my car was there with the Celtics logo. I'm telling you, without exaggeration, a good 7-8 years. So when you drive past this place on the highway, you could see it there, and it was still getting more and more famous, this hideous car with this Celtics logo in the boneyard. Probably – at the time, was more famous than the team because Vin Baker was, you know, the guy for the Celtics at the time. Things just weren't going well. It's the Celtics postgame show. You can tell the Celtics played the Knicks today. We're getting silly here. Celtics win at MSG. Things aren't going to be so silly this week. Cleveland comes to Boston on Wednesday. I'll be very curious to see which version of the Cleveland Cavaliers suits up for the Celtics if Ty Lue is going to continue this trend of resting his guys on back-to-back nights, because that's what essentially this is going to be for the Cleveland Cavaliers, although this game does mean something to both teams in the standings. So we'll know a lot more about how Cleveland feels about winning the number one seed, dependent upon, you know, if Ty Lue suits up LeBron James and Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, even Kyle Korver to a certain extent, or is it just slow-and-go mode for the Cavaliers until they get to the playoffs? If they win, they win. If they don't, they don't, because, again, as we talked about in the previous segment, I truly believe that that team feels that there is a switch and they will flip it in just about 10 days here on the NBA calendar, the NBA schedule. Just 5 games remain for the Boston Celtics. A big win today. The Celtics get win number 50. And last year, I think 50 was the goal. Unfortunately, Jay Crowder goes down with the injury late in the season. Even though Crowder came back last year, he wasn't quite the same player, essentially played on one leg for the last 6-7 weeks of the season and into the playoffs, and the Celtics fell short of that 50-win plateau. But here we go. The Celtics hit win number 50. And if you had told me, gentlemen, before we get out of here today, if you had told me, gentlemen, 3.5 years ago, when the Celtics turned their whole operation upside down and they traded away Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and they built for the future and they got these Brooklyn picks that nobody knew anything about. After all, at the time, Brooklyn was all in trying to win NBA championships. If you told me, guys, in 3.5 years, in less than 4 years, this team's going to win 50 games again and compete for the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, I probably would have laughed at you, because the fact is most rebuilds will look a lot more like what's happening in, I don't know, L.A., in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. That's what an NBA rebuild typically looks like when you decide to go young, go through the draft. You know, it's not a quick fix. And I think it's lost sometimes on Celtics fans that this team, between the start of the Big Three era and today, they've only missed the playoffs one time. And that was the first year of the Brad Stevens era. Other than that, this has been a consistent playoff team for 11 years now. And I think that gets lost. We don't appreciate that here in Boston.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing we're looking at, like, I mean, this is really getting ahead of myself. So feel free to, you know, sort of shout me down for this. But we're also sort of looking at the start of a championship window here for the Celtics, you know, open, if not this year, you know, maybe next year. With that max free agent space they're going to have, there's a chance the Celtics end this season with the number one seed in one of the conferences and, you know, the best odds at a number one pick in the draft. I mean, that's practically unheard of. They've got young players at, you know, nearly every position. I mean, they've got, besides Al Horford, everyone on this team is, you know, 27 years old or younger. I guess Gerald Green also, if you want to, you know, count Gerald Green. And so it's not like this is a team that, like, has to win now as well. This is a team that has won and is going to continue to improve. Like, Jaylen Brown, as we saw today in the game, like, the flashes, who knows what he'll become. You know, whichever one of the guys that the Celtics draft this year, whether they package him into another star to sort of pair with their free agent. I mean, this is the there's a really high ceiling on this.
Well, Sam,
team.
I got to ask you, because you started your take, and it's not a bad take. I think it's a matter of fact, I think it's kind of a ballsy take to say the Celtics are opening this championship window. I don't necessarily disagree with your take, but I think that there's a certain segment and a large segment of Celtics fans that would be totally on board with the Celtics drafting one of these two young stud point guards and not paying Isaiah Thomas and trading him this offseason. Now, look, Isaiah Thomas to me is a true MVP candidate. He's not going to win it, but he's certainly in the conversation. And to get guys that give you 30 points a game, and most importantly, guys that have such a tangible effect on W's. If you look at the Celtics winning percentage without Isaiah Thomas, I believe it's around 320.
Right.
And with it's close to 650. But Celtics fans are so quick to say, you know what, he's not the future. You can't win a championship with him. You draft one of these two studs and you let Isaiah go. I think that they're crazy. I think you need to pay Isaiah. I think he needs to be here. Could you potentially draft one of these two young point guards and move Isaiah to the two guard and have a 5'9" shooting guard? I don't know. I don't know if that works off the ball, but I would rather they do that than just let a guy that legitimately has tangible effects on W's just leave here. For whatever you get for him, you're not going to get equal value back in return. It's not possible.
Right.
And for all the Celtics fans, and we took the calls here on CLNS, God, for 2 months, think about a guy like DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus is incredibly talented. I wanted him here on the Celtics, but now it's two teams. He has got no tangible effect on W's. Meanwhile, the evidence is there with Isaiah Thomas. When he's with the Celtics, they win 65% of their games. When he's not with the Celtics, they lose nearly 70% of their games.
Right.
It's laughable to me that there are there's a segment of Celtics fans that are comfortable saying, no, you know what? It's okay. It's cool. He's 5'9". They can't win a championship with him as their guy. Let him go.
Right. I think that there's I think like everything, there's pros and cons to it. Like, I mean, when you look at the Isaiah Thomas, like, there's no question that Isaiah Thomas this year, probably next year, and going forward, is going to be the Celtics' best player. I mean, he's an MVP candidate. There's no taking that away from Isaiah Thomas. The fact that his size is very small, you know, I think that the plateau, you know, when time catches up with Isaiah Thomas, it's going to be quick. I mean, we see the still frames from the games of him getting the shots off and how narrow the window is, like literal inches from his shot being blocked, and he gets it off. But just when that extra inch goes away, we're going to see, you know, Isaiah, you know, sort of come back down to earth. Now, Isaiah Thomas has made a living out of people doubting him. I do not want to be in the camp that is doubting how long Isaiah Thomas is going to be able to keep this up. Those people have been proven wrong again and again and again, literally his entire life. So I think, you know, I understand the sentiment.
Okay, but Sam, sentiment aside,
right.
Sam, if you're Danny Ainge, he's going into his free agent year next year. That's his walk year. They've got a big decision to make. Now, people, I think sometimes fans forget that the NBA salary cap and their CBA has changed. The days of the 7-year max extension are gone. We're talking about 4, maybe 5 years for Isaiah Thomas. And at his age, I'm comfortable giving him 4 years at max dollars all day, today, tomorrow, the next day, because I believe at 30, 31 years old, he'll still be good enough to command that sort of money in the NBA.
Right. And I mean, I think that's, you know, that's sort of been my forte, is, you know, as sort of a cap guy and looking at, I don't think people understand that just the Celtics in 2 years are going to lose $14 million in cap space without signing anyone if they keep their roster as is. Between Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart's restricted free agency, and Isaiah Thomas, all of those cap holds are going to take $14 million away that they could spend before they sign anyone. That's totally independent of them signing anyone. So, you know, they need to make a move somewhere.
But you're the cap guy. You're the cap guy. So correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not the cap guy as much as you are, but I do study it. And if the Celtics decide to renounce the rights to guys like Zeller and they don't match any offer that a guy like Kelly Olynyk gets this year, don't they have the ability, because of the bargain basement contract that a guy like Jimmy Butler is on, couldn't they use the bird rights that they own for a guy like Isaiah Thomas, trade for Jimmy Butler, and still have enough cap space to sign Gordon Hayward and essentially give this team a big four moving forward?
Oh, they absolutely could do that. I mean, the order of operation would probably need to be, they would need to sign someone. They need to renounce, like you said, renounce the rights to Olynyk and Zeller. And, you know, the problem would be, yeah, for the matching salaries, you'd probably need to see Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley go back out, because that's the only way to get to the money that you would need to match on like a Jimmy Butler or a Paul George. But, you know, if you were getting a player of that caliber back, you can kind of see a way around it. But that's absolutely something that Celtics will, you know, have in play. And, you know, something else that people forget is how many picks the Celtics have coming as far as cheap young talent and, you know, the roster spots that they're going to have. Like, they've got Gershon Yabusele, they've got Ante Zizic coming over, and they've got picks going forward. So they're going to be able to, if they get that top class of talent, they're going to have a lot more avenues to put talent around them and not be like, say, the Clippers, who are such a top-heavy roster but just can't fill in those gaps. The Celtics are going to have those options. You know, and I think, you know, what's probably going to happen is the Celtics are not going to be able to pay Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, and Marcus Smart. They've probably got to pick two of them. Marcus Smart will probably be the cheapest because restricted free agency will depress his value. And, you know, simply put, he doesn't do as well as Bradley and Thomas, but does seem to impact winning in a big way. So I'm of the opinion that maybe Avery Bradley is the guy, and we might see him traded in the coming year, particularly when we've seen the Celtics. Not that Avery Bradley, you know, they miss Avery Bradley, but we have seen Jaylen Brown. You know, the Celtics are worse when Jaylen Brown has started at the two, but we've seen them stay afloat, I guess, is what I've seen. I would say, and we can see the pick, and I would be much more comfortable parting ways with Avery Bradley than, you know, the guy who, you know, is the MVP, is in MVP contention, and, you know, maybe trading him a year after MVP contention and putting yet another chip on his shoulder. I do not want an Isaiah Thomas revenge game in Boston. Let me put it that way.
That's funny. Yeah. I just want to know who these Celtics fans are that are unsatisfied with someone who's in the top, you know, three or four, if not, I don't know, maybe top five in scoring in the league, who gives you 6 to 7 assists, who, as Patrick has already noted, has a tangible impact in the win column. Who are these Celtics? What is it that they want?
And well, Nick, you don't live here in Boston. Nick, you don't live here in Boston, okay? And I do Boston radio here on one of the biggest stations in the country. And I will tell you what, our sister station, because Entercom and CBS have decided to merge, but our main competitor on 98.5 The Sports Hub, which happens to be the Celtics flagship, their number one show, and God, numbers-wise, the number one show in the country, Felger and Maz, Mike Felger, you know, he dictates the conversation in New England, whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not. And he, unfortunately, he's of the mind that the Celtics will never win a championship. There's no shot with a 5'9" guy as their best offensive player. So he dictates the tone of the conversation in New England. And unfortunately, I take the calls here. Nick, you screen the calls here, man. I take them on EEI, I take them on Herald Radio. Like, you're asking who these people are. You talk to them nearly after every single game, buddy.
Oh, my God.
But that makes no sense, and I know who Felger is, why this one individual is allowed to, you know, to dictate. Why is the greater New England area, the greater Boston area, that you know, and I'm from New Bedford, but I mean, I left in high school, so I don't really, you know, I don't know all that stuff. And New Bedford is not exactly, you know, central to Boston, even though it's only about half an hour out. Why is this one individual, and why is the greater Boston area not smarter than that to consider other things? This guy, Isaiah Thomas, if you were to trade him, like you mentioned, you're not going to get back equal value. And then on top of that, you're starting from scratch all over again. Yes, I love these young players. I love these kids. I think it's great to have, as Sam mentioned, these cheap, this inexpensive, I should say, young talent coming in on rookie contracts for 4 or 5 years or whatever it is, and then being restricted free agents that we can then extend for more, like Marcus Smart. And I agree completely that Avery Bradley's the one that's going to go and not Marcus Smart, because Marcus Smart is going to be cheaper, number one. But Marcus Smart is also plays the type of defense, the disruptor defense, that is more relevant in today's NBA as opposed to the, you know, kind of one-on-one pressure defense that Avery Bradley plays, because the ISO game has almost disappeared from the NBA. It's very minimal. Everybody's moved to this, you know, ball movement, Golden State Warriors type of offense, and Marcus Smart's disruptor defense just plays better, you know, against that type of offense than the Avery Bradley defense to do. Plus, Avery Bradley's undersized for his position, which is not a good thing to have a backcourt that hits this undersized at both the point guard and the
shooting
guard.
But I tell you what, if you go back to the scenario that I laid out and that our cap guy, you know, Sam, sort of agreed with, at least financially, I think this is Danny Ainge's number one plan. And look, Danny's done everything correct. Look, the Celtics have done an incredible job here becoming a 50-win team so quickly after the rebuild. But unfortunately, despite the fact that Danny has done this incredible job, he's got no control over what happens next for the Celtics. And so much is going to come down to ping pong balls. If this thing is one or two and they truly want Jimmy Butler, I believe they can have him. If this thing is one or two and they truly want Paul George, I believe they can have him. Now, with Paul George, it's interesting. Can you get him to agree to an extension? Because we all know he wants to be a Laker. But you could pull off a trade like that and still get yourself Gordon Hayward, give yourself a big four. And people forget, people aren't comfortable with the idea of signing minimum salary guys, veteran guys, and rookies or young players to their cheap deals to surround a big four with. But I encourage those people to go back and take a look at the contributing players to the last Celtics championship team, because you did have guys like P.J. Brown and Sam Cassell at the end of their careers working for the early. You had a guy like Glenn Big Baby Davis on a rookie contract, Eddie House, just your typical veteran guy put into the right position but wasn't making any money. Scott Pollard was on that team. He made nothing. James Posey was your really only in-betweener that was making a little bit of money, but nothing compared to the big three, and certainly nothing, you know, not as low as a rookie deal. But, you know, you had a guy like Gabe Pruitt giving that team minutes. Scal, who when Danny Ainge gave him this five-year deal 3 years prior, was lambasted for giving him five at 35. Scal was basically a bargain at that point. So when you've got truly talented elite players leading the way, you don't need to have a Jay Crowder or an Avery Bradley, as important as they are to this edition of the Celtics. If the Celtics come back next year with Jimmy Butler and Gordon Hayward to put alongside Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford, you no longer need a guy like Avery Bradley, and you no longer need a guy like Jay Crowder to hit this 50-win plateau and be a championship contender.
See, people don't want to let those players go. Fans don't want to let those players go because they grow emotionally attached to this scrappy, overachieving team. And I disagree with what Brad Stevens says about this team not being as good as its record is showing. This team, maybe I do agree with them then if I'm saying they're overachieving. But they love this overachieving team regardless. They love guys like that overcome those things. Like Isaiah Thomas overcomes this. They get emotionally attached to Jay Crowder, those guys that were here during the so-called lean years, and don't want to let them go. They just don't realize that you could have, especially Jimmy Butler, and that's the one thing when I hear you talk that I really like, is that Jimmy Butler is on an incredibly cheap contract for what it is that he does. And he's the one guy that I would be looking at, and he seems to, from some of the you know, internet reports that I've read, seems to be halfway out the door in Chicago anyway. That he's about to go, he's ripe for the picking. I think he's the guy that, you know, given his salary, given what he can do, given his defensive mentality, you're not going to miss anything from Avery Bradley if you got Jimmy Butler playing defense.
Right, right. And I mean, well, and you know, we're sitting here, guys, and we're talking about the future and, you know, the plans that the Celtics can make going forward, you know, with the great cap position there and all the draft picks and everything. I want to share with you guys a stat that I dug up beginning of the month. So on April 1st of 2016, the Cleveland Cavaliers had a 7% chance of winning the NBA Finals. On March 31st, the Celtics had a 5% chance. So, you know, even as much, you know, that a 1 in 20 chance, that's not much. But the Celtics, and, you know, people are going to call me crazy. It's not like it's not incredibly improbable if the Celtics catch the right matchups that they could even get lucky. You know, it would take a couple of injuries and some stuff like that. But we even without those big trades or anything like that, the Celtics are still in a place where there is like a small chance that they could be in the NBA Finals or even win the NBA Finals.
Sam, let me ask you this. Are you because there's a certain segment of fans, and again, I don't necessarily disagree with them, but there's a certain segment of fans that believes that the Celtics, let's take an NBA Finals matchup, for example. There's a certain segment of fans that believe this Celtics team has proven that they match up well with the Golden State Warriors. Meanwhile, a team like the Spurs would give the Celtics fits because they've got legitimate front court stars that will kill the Celtics. So are you of the mind, are you already sort of in the back of your mind allowing yourself to think that if the Celtics were to be fortunate enough to make it to the NBA Finals, that Golden State, although they're very talented, it's not impossible for this team to beat them in a 7-game series?
I would say that I wouldn't expect it. I wouldn't be placing any bets. I wouldn't do anything, but I would dig up some old 2004 Boston Red Sox tapes of Curt Schilling on the bus.
I love it.
Looking around and saying, why not us? Because, I mean, look, the Celtics have won in Oracle. Like, teams don't
like
do that
multiple times with this lineup and this edition of the Celtics has now won their two consecutive years. And I believe, aren't they the only Eastern Conference team to do that? There's a weird stat around the Celtics and their ability to win at Oracle that I'll pull up for the next show. But look, the Celtics have proven themselves somewhat elite when it comes to winning at Oracle.
Look, I mean, if they win in Oracle once, they got Petey in game 5. Shill in game 6, game 7, anything can happen. I love it.
Sam, I've enjoyed this, but that's a perfect way to end this broadcast comparing this team to the 04 Red Sox. It's not a bad comparison, a why not us comparison. If this were any other team in any other market and they were the number one seed in their conference, that team would be spoken about as a team that has the potential, just the potential, to win the NBA championship. And I think here in Boston, for whatever reason, we're not allowing ourselves to believe that about this team just yet. And I think it's a prove-it-to-me scenario where the Celtics need to prove it, at least in round one. But I believe that if the Celtics do get out of round one, suddenly that bandwagon of believers is going to be full, because we've been disappointed here the last couple of years, last year specifically, and there's a certain segment of fans that believe that this team can't compete come playoff time, that they are just built for the regular season. But one round, one victory in one round, I think could change the entire mentality surrounding this Celtics team. I tell you what, guys, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you for stepping up the first segment and saving my ass here. I don't know what happened, but you definitely made it a lot better for me. I didn't have to worry so much what was going to take place here. So it means a lot. The post-game show will be available for the man listening by searching for the Steel and Real Boston Celtics post-game show on iTunes. And of course, you want to like us on Facebook. The CLNS Radio, a mobile podcast app, is a great place to listen to the rebroadcast of this show. You find us on Twitter at facebook.com/CLNSfans, on Twitter at CLNS Radio. Today's show was brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Start using ZipRecruiter for free right now by heading on over to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. Also, our friends at Blue Apron. It's blueapron.com/CLNS for 3 free meals and free shipping. We cannot forget about our friends at Blue Apron Watches. It's moodlebeat.com/Celticsbeat. Once again, with free shipping. And one more, it's audible.com. Head on over to audiblepodcast.com/try now. Gets you a free 30-day trial of audiobooks. Our music was provided by Nick Sesento and Joshua Morse. And I want to thank everybody who listened to today's program. For CLNS Radio executive producer Larry H. Russell, new edition of Celtics Beat with Celtics president Rich Gotham became available today. Make sure you download that, listen to that. Our program director, Justin Poulin, new edition of Celtics Live with Justin Poulin is unleashed tomorrow morning. And the founder of our network, Nick Yelso. For my co-host today, Sam Sheehan, I'm Patrick Gilroy. Nick Sesento, thank you very much for what you did behind the glass and stepping up in that first segment. We will see everybody back here once again this Wednesday when LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers come to town with first place on the line. Until then, everybody, your score once again from MSG, the Boston Celtics 110, the New York Knicks 94. Until Wednesday, we'll see you then.
CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.